Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and let's stand as we do so for the reading of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We will read responsibly. I'll start, and then you'll take verse 2, and so on. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for the reading of your word here. We thank you for the preaching of your word. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you work in every heart. I pray, God, that you fall upon my lips, upon my mind. Help me to say only that which you would say if you were standing behind this pulpit. I thank you, God, for the awesome responsibility that you've given me to preach to these dear people. I pray, God, that you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, Brother Sean. Okay, I got me turned on here. Speak to you this morning on the subject, get in the way. Get in the way. Joshua, just days before, took Moses' position. Moses, of course, was the leader of Israel, and he had died and passed away, and Joshua, of course, was being honed for that particular position. And just days before here, in this chapter, Moses had passed away. And Joshua was the chosen one of God to complete the job that Moses had started. This is to take the children of Israel to the promised land which God had promised. In our text, the children of Israel came to the River Jordan. The Bible says that they lodged there 3 days. You know, I kind of, as they were sitting there and camped there around Jordan for 3 days, I kind of get thinking, what were the children of Israel thinking? They just lost the leader that they have entrusted in for so many years, Moses. And now I wonder if they were kind of thinking, here we are at Jordan, one of the first big battles of Joshua. I wonder if they sat back wondering, okay, how's the new guy going to do? And I kind of wonder if they were maybe sitting there, kind of wondering, scratching their head, now how's Joshua going to go ahead and handle the pressure? You know, I can't help but maybe think that maybe some of them might have doubted a little bit. Okay, we're here. We're at the Jordan River. We're supposed to cross over. Now what? I can just see that perhaps. But the Bible says that after 3 days that the Levites, who were the men of God that were supposed to bear the Ark of the Covenant, were going to take the Ark and go on before. In Israel, you are going to go after the Ark. The Bible says that between you and the ark will be 2,000 cubits or about 3,000 feet. You're not to go ahead and get ahead of the ark. You will follow the ark. You're going to keep your distance. Why? So that ye will know the way that you must go. You have not passed this way before in our text in verse 4. The Bible says how Joshua commands the people to prepare themselves, for God is going to do wonders among you. Sit back and see, if you will, the salvation of the Lord. Sit back and see what God's going to do. He says, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. I like that. Prepare yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Be ready. Get yourselves all ready, because you know what? You may sit here scratching your head, and you may wonder, what's going to go on here? How are we going to go ahead and pass over Jordan? But the truth of the matter is, here was Joshua, that fearless leader. You know, I think all the while Israel was sitting there wondering, okay, Joshua, what are you going to do? We're sitting here 3 days. You might be scratching your head. It's not. They've already mourned for Moses, but now they're wondering, and maybe Joshua is thinking, okay, God, you said you'd be with me. You said to be strong and of good courage. You said that you're going to go ahead and be with me as you were with Moses. I can imagine maybe Joshua, but Joshua fearlessly got up and said, hey, you know what? You be ready here, because tomorrow you're going to see some wonders. Tomorrow you're going to go ahead and see God work. You know, God doesn't always work on our timetable, does he? I mean, we want things now. You know what I mean? I mean, I know I'm that way, you know. I'm very impatient, you know. I want things right now. If I can't have it my way, you know, kind of like Burger King, have it your way, you know what I mean? I want it now. I want to have it my way. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't always work that way. By the way, God's timetable is best. Okay, you may feel like, well, man, but Pastor Weeks, how can I go ahead and have some of the things that they have? You know, don't worry about what other people have. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about the fact that maybe you may not have as much as somebody else. Hey, you know what? You can always look at the fact that you don't have maybe their car payments or their house payments or their bills, if you will. But the truth of the matter is, don't go ahead and get ahead of God. Hey, God's timetable is just right. God's timing is just right. I can maybe imagine. I have a feeling that the children of Israel, they've had their trust in Moses, yet they whined to Moses, yet they complained to Moses. You hear that all through the first several books of the Bible. They went ahead, wow, Moses, you know, you brought us out here in the wilderness to go ahead and die. And they go ahead and whine at him, but yet they entrusted Moses. They knew that every single moment of the time, when they came to the Red Sea, when they came to battle after battle, they would go ahead and whine. But the truth of the matter is, God always provided. God always took care of the needs of the children of Israel. And you'd think that the children of Israel by now, they've got to figure out, hey, you know what? God's going to take care of us. But I maybe kind of have a feeling that some of them were maybe some of those that have been around a little while, some of those that had been on this journey for all these years. I wonder what they think. Hey, you know, there's a new guy. Let's see what he's going to do. How is he going to get us out of this one? And of course, Joshua very fearlessly gets up and says, hey, you know what? Sanctify yourselves, prepare yourselves, and be amazed because God's going to do something great. Hey, let me just say this. You know, maybe you're in a valley this morning and you wonder, man, it seems like just about the time I get the mountaintop, just about the time that I hit the top, man, I just start sliding down the valley and so forth. And you wonder, how in the world? Why in the world? Hey, you know what? Don't despair. Don't get upset. Don't get mad at God. Sometimes our first reaction is to go ahead and shake our fist at God and say, God, man, I was up on the mountaintop, man. I was heading there, and then all of a sudden a financial thing happens or health or something, and here I am in the valley. God, this just isn't fair. Hey, you know what? God's timing's just right. Hey, you need to be patient with God. Allow God to go ahead and work in his time. You know, and so Joshua says, hey, you know what? Sit back and be amazed, if you will. Sit back and see the wonders of God. He's going to do a great work among you. You know what? I love reading about the children of Israel. I love the two leaders that they had. It's amazing. Boy, you could preach forever on Moses, and you could preach. Man, I've been going through the book of Joshua lately, and I think I'm going to be in Joshua again tonight, but the truth of the matter is, boy, there's just so much that you can learn from these men of God of old. There's just so much. I mean, their fearlessness, and I'm sure that there are times that Moses, I know Moses from time to time, had anxiety. Lord, you know, what's going to happen here? And I'm sure that there were times that Joshua was maybe scratched, and maybe during this 3 days, okay, Lord, okay, help me out here a little bit, and so forth, but I just love reading about the children of Israel. I love reading about their journeys. You know, we all have that same kind of journey. You know, there are days that we're going to be on the mountaintop and everything seems wonderful and everything seems great. And boy, you know, the bills are paid. The wife is happy. The children is happy. There's food on the table. Boy, everything just seems pretty good. But then there are times that we get down here and we just wonder, oh no, here we are again. And it just seems like a yo-yo. Amen? I mean, it seems like, you know, just up and down and up and down. And you say, preacher, when is this going to end? You know what? It'll end in heaven one day. One of these days, Jesus is going to go ahead and come back. And I look forward to that. God's going to go ahead and say, hey, go get our children. Hey, you know what? The mansions are all ready. The mansions are all prepared. The streets of gold, the gates of pearl. Hey, you know what? Hey, it's time to go get our, hey, you know, it'll all end then. But the truth of the matter is, yes, we have ups and downs. Yes, we'd love to have more ups than we do downs, but sometimes we're down there, sometimes we're up here, maybe we're up here for a little while, and then we go down there. And, you know, and I've used this illustration before, but it just kind of fits right now. You know, when cancer came to our home, okay, just a couple years ago, a year and a half or so ago, my wife, of course, some of you who have do not know this, she contracted breast cancer a couple years ago. And you know what? Things were going pretty good. I mean, I was really, if you will, in my ministry as an assistant pastor at Calvary Baptist, I was really in the height of it. as an assistant pastor, I was really in the, I mean, man, my teenagers were following, my teenagers that I had a chance to lead, they were excited about serving God. We had a wonderful summer, and we went to youth conference, and boy, the decisions and the revival that took place in the youth group. We had big days in our bus ministry that I oversaw. Man, God was blessing. People were getting saved. Lives are being changed. We were, if you will, in the height of our ministry. Then August, I won't belabor this point because a lot of you know it, but August, well, actually, it was during that summer. We were just getting ready to go on vacation. It was after youth conference. It was always in July. We took a big trip out west with the teens, came back, and we were going on our vacation, and my wife mentioned that she felt a lump. I said, you know what, you need to go ahead and get this checked, okay? And after, of course, that vacation in July, the end of July, she went and got it checked. And, you know, just like any other time, we really downplayed it, if you will. We thought, it's okay. It's going to be okay, but, you know, it's just a lump. It's going to be okay. But, you know, it was sore, and it was different things. And, of course, she went. And then just the day before school started, I was sitting in my office. As a matter of fact, I had not yet gone down to my office in the morning. She, at that time, was working a job in town with an insurance agent, and she knew she was going to get the call, the results, that Monday morning. She went ahead, and I had not yet left. I was actually just getting some things together that morning, and she called me on my cell phone and from the church, from my office at the church, and she says, are you on your way down? And I could tell the fear and the anxiety, and she was crying. I said, I thought this is not good. She says, I need to talk to you. And then I went down to the office, and she just cried. She says, it's cancer. You know, and the truth of the matter is, I'm going to admit, you know, we were at the height of our ministry. I mean, boy, it was just very smooth, and just things were just, I was happy. I mean, I'd never seen so much great things that God had done in the ministry. Just, it was exciting. But then, the old devil went ahead and threw his nasty book of tricks in, if you will, like he does. And then, of course, September, she had to go in for surgery, all-day surgery. They removed all the cancer and some lymph nodes and core, but she had to go through all the treatment, the chemo, you know, everything that goes along with it, the chemo and everything. It was really a year of just it was overwhelming. I thank God for the church family we had then, and I say it time and time again as pastor of this church. I hope that, boy, as a church, when we have an arm of our church hurting, boy, we need to rise up around them people, and we need to love them. Doesn't matter who it is, you know what, the ground's level at the foot of the cross, Jesus died for all, it doesn't matter who's hurting in our church, you know what, we always ought to be one that just, when they're hurting, we ought to be there for them. You know, it's not time for us to get so big on ourselves, no, we need to love one another and do everything we can. That's godliness, by the way. I thank God we had a church that just, boys, just surrounded our family, if you will. I mean, my wife, during that period of 6 or 8 months, didn't cook a meal. I mean, the ladies of the church took care of that. I mean, there are things in my preacher, of course, I work full-time at the church as an assistant pastor, and he says, you know, Pastor Weeks, you're going to need to go ahead and cut out some of your time at work. The pastor, man, what about my, you know, he says, you are going to have to cut out. I mean, didn't cut my pay. He didn't do all that, but he just recommended you need to go ahead and cut out some of your time here. To make a long story short, I did that. I was able to take care of my wife in a lot of ways during that time. A lot of ladies took her to chemo sessions. I took her to different things. But we went through a lot during that period. You say, preacher, would you ever want to take it away? No. You say, oh, come on, pastor. No. And ask my wife later on. We needed that. We needed that pressure. We needed that time of going through the fire to be refined, if you will. Let me tell you something. Our family, as a result of that, listen to me, our family, as a result of that, are more closer to today than they ever were. And I was in the height of my ministry. You say, preacher, you know, you mean you know, my family was together. We did things, but the truth of the matter is it brought us so much closer and dearer. The truth of the matter is we needed that. But what I'm trying to say, you know what? You wonder, there are times that you're down there. There are times you're up here. And you wonder, man, how can we go ahead? And why is it such a yo-yo? Why does it up and down, up and down? It just gets tiresome. But let me just say, don't you quit. Hey, let me just go ahead and be a Joshua for just a minute. You just go ahead and prepare yourself. And you go ahead and watch God work. If you're going through financial valley, if you're going through heartache, if you're going through trouble, if you're going through disappointment, if you're going through, you know what? I just thank God that God, no matter what position you're in, He is right there, for thou art with me. He never leaves you, forsakes you. Hey, I plead with you. Hey, sit back and prepare yourself. And by the way, if you're going through it, if you're going through the fire, use that as refining time and use it as a preparation time, because you sit there and you're going through the fire. Hey, sit back and watch God work. He's going to do a great work. He's going to go ahead and use you bigger and better than you've ever been used before. Praise the Lord for that. Thank God for His promise. But I can see the children of Israel, they maybe thought, okay, what's Joshua gonna do? I wonder if he's having a tough time. I wonder if he's gonna make this. Maybe some of them doubters, if you will, and the children of Israel. I wonder, you know, Joshua kind of in a dilemma here. You know what? And Joshua just fearlessly got up. Hey, let me tell you something. Yeah, our church may go through it someday. You know, it may. I've known churches, and I've been in church. The church I was in, we went through some fire. But what are we going to do? Go ahead and close the doors and quit? No. What are we going to do? Go ahead and cut out our services? No. You know what? We're going to just keep on going forward. We're going to go ahead and use it as a preparation time. Right now, things are going good. We're seeing souls saved. We're seeing lives changed. And the truth of the matter is, there may be a time even our church will go through fire. But you know what? We're just going to keep on going forward. And we're going to use it as a preparation time. Because let me tell you something. I look at that time, and perhaps when the fire comes and when the struggle comes, I look at that time as a honing time. I look at it as a refining time, because I see better days ahead. I'm going to sit back, and if or when the fires come, if or when the devil wants to shoot his fiery darts of the wicked at us, I look at it as a time that we can go ahead and do more great things for God. I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to watch God do some work. Amen. But you know, this journey, as much that the children of Israel had, represents a lot like our journey. The ups and downs. The struggles, the Red Sea, the battles, the heartache, the doubt, wondering, are we going to make it through the next battle? The uneasiness. We go through some rough terrain. We'd rather have it be easy. We'd rather have it be a little bit simpler. We'd rather have it be just smooth walking. But the truth of the matter is, it's not always that way. Let me just say this, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. I mean, a God that loves you unconditionally. You know, sometimes we get in our own rut because of our mistakes, because we failed to listen, because of sin. You know, I thank God that even when I get in a rut because of some simple mistake I made, you know what, God still loves me. I thank God that regardless of the position I've ever put myself in because of stupid mistakes that I've made, you say, you shouldn't use stupid. Well, I just did, amen? But the mistakes that I made, I thank God. I thank God. I thank God that He never left me. I thank God that He never went ahead and walked away from me. He's a God that's mighty good, and we can always trust in Him. God has a plan. The other day, I took a little time off, and I'd never been really down to the Cape. I did not realize how big the Cape was. You know, every time I looked on the map, it just looked this big. Okay? I didn't realize it was so big. Okay? I mean, there was a lot. I mean, you have Hyannis. I mean, you got all them little towns and places. I just didn't realize it. Okay? And, you know, you say, well, Pastor Weeks, should you take a map? No, who needs a map? Amen? You know, I mean, you know, I'll find my way around. You know, basically we want to take our family down. We want to go see water. My family loves water, so we want to go see water, okay? I kind of told them, I mean, we just go out to the back door and look at the water, but that wasn't suffice, okay? So, but anyways, we went ahead and got in the van. We just kind of took a family day and went down to the Cape and got down to, I think, the most important part of the day. We got down to Friendly's because we ate. Amen. All right. And but anyway, I left without a map. I left with all that, but without all that, I didn't need one. I thought, you know, I told Brother Joe before on Wednesday night. We went on Thursday on Wednesday night. Well, Brother Joe, I'm going to take a little time off tomorrow, and I'm going to go ahead and take my family to the Cape. He asked, "Where are you going?" I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what was I supposed to answer? I really didn't know. But the truth of the matter is, we got in the car on Thursday, and we kind of went driving, and we went the right direction. Okay, we were down on the road there on 3, and we went the right direction. We finally got to Hyannis. Like I said, we stopped in 8, and I think then we got on 28. Okay, I should have said, well, certainly we'll just follow 28, and we're going to hit water somewhere. It seems like 28 is just always on the outskirts of where the water is. I mean, you could look over here, and it's over there, but I'm sure my wife was saying, okay, you could turn this way. We'll get to water, you know, but... You know, I just kind of stay in my grip. No, we're going to find water. We'll just stay on 28. The main route, we're going to, you know, and the truth of the matter is eventually we actually went all the way down to the end, to the tip, to the end of the world, to Provincetown. Okay? I can't say, you know, it was interesting in some areas, but we got to where the water is, though. Okay? I better say that. We finally got to where the water is, and I've said, and we got down there, and it was just beautiful. But, you know, you say, Pastor, it would have been a lot easier had you used a map. Yeah, it would have been. It would have been a whole lot easier had I used a map. And the truth of the matter is, God, you know, we sometimes say, you know, God says, hey, listen, I have a plan for you. I have a direction for you. I've given you a map. I've given you the Word of God. I've given you the directions right here, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what Bible means right there. I've given you this. Now, we need to go ahead and read it. But oftentimes in our Christian life, we say, you know what? Hold it. I think I know where I'm going. I'm all set. I'm all set. Hold it. You know, let me just try this a little bit. And the truth of the matter is when we do it our way, generally that's where the troubles come. That's when the problems arise. God has given us the basic instruction right here in His Word. He wants us to get to know Him through His Word. He wants us to go ahead and absorb the Word of God in our hearts. That Word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against Thee. He wants us to go ahead and read His book. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. And the truth of the matter is, even we as Christians, sometimes we get in the valley. Sometimes we get in the struggles. Sometimes we put ourselves in the position because we fail to go ahead and read the plan of God. We fail to go ahead and take the roadmap, if you will, of the Christian life, which is the Word of God. We fail to go ahead and make it a big part of our life. Boy, every single day, Christian, every single day, I plead with you, you ought to walk with God. You ought to read His Word. You ought to pray. You ought to get your family around a table and pray together and read the Word of God just for a few minutes if you can. You ought to go ahead and Dad, I've said it before, you ought to be the leader of that home, and you ought to make a point that you have a time where you read the Word of God with your children continually and regularly. That's why, you know, listen, our kids will do what we do. If the Word of God is not important as a parent, then how will it be important to a child? If they see you making an effort for church, and I've said this some Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, I've been teaching a little bit of this, but let me just stop here a minute. If they see the importance of the Word of God in you, how much more are they going to go ahead and say, you know what, the Bible is the center of my home, our home, because Daddy gets out and reads it. Mom gets out and reads it. We sit around the table and we read it. When they see you make this priority in your life, you know what, then your kids are going to go ahead and say, you know what, my mom and dad think that book's important. I want to learn it. If they see you make church a priority, get up on Sunday morning and get ready, if they see the priorities that God wants you to have, the first things that God wants you to have in your life and make Him number one, you know what, then your children are going to go ahead and say, you know what, Daddy and Mom pray. They read the Bible. They go to church. I'd say it's pretty important to them. They see that, and it starts getting into their heart. And you know what? The Word of God does not return void. If we do our part as leaders and parents, and if I do my part as a pastor and different things, if all the leaders would go ahead and do their part, then we're teaching our children the Word of God. You know what? When they get into adulthood, they're going to be most likely to say, you know what, I'm going to raise my children just like Mama and Daddy rose me in the church. they're going to go ahead and say, you know, I'm going to be able to raise my kids. It's important to my mom and dad, so it's important to them when they become adults so that they can pass it on. But somewhere along the way, I'm off here in a moment, but I'm going to get back on track in a moment. But somewhere along the way, our generation has just closed the book. Other things have kind of gone ahead and diverted us from what really is important. You know, and I'm not saying other things are bad, but when TV, if you will, and when all this other stuff comes before this book, then that's where problems come. Boy, first and foremost, we ought to make this a priority. We ought to make the Word of God a key priority in your life. Let your kids see God be real in your life. They see God real in your life, you know what? Then it's going to help them let God be real in their life as they grow up. But to get back on track here, you know what? This is the roadmap that God has given us, the Word of God. If we're going to go ahead and allow God to lead us, and we ought to let God be our guide. Okay, you go on trips and different things. I mean, if you go, say, I've never been to the Holy Land, but the truth of the matter is you go into the Holy Land, they give you a tour guide. Okay, that tour guide is very, very important to help you get to where you're supposed to be. The truth of the matter, what I'm trying to get at, giving you several basic illustrations, whether you're in the valley, you're in the mountaintop, you're halfway in between, boy, you just need to keep your eyes on Jesus and let him be the guide of your life. The Bible says in Psalm 32, Psalm 32, I think it's the fourth verse, but there's a phrase in there that God, he guides with his eyes. He guideth with his eyes. If you allow God to go ahead and be the eyes of your life, if you allow God to go ahead and lead you, you know what? I'd much rather have trust on God's eyesight than mine. I'd much rather go ahead, you know what? Because God can see a whole lot further down the way. He can see a whole long ways down the road. He can see the trouble and turmoil. And you know what? If you allow him to lead and guide you, if you allow him to guide with his eyes, then how much better it will be for you when you do face that. He sees it down there. God sees that financial trouble. You may be right here. You're on the mountaintop. But the truth of the matter is God sees that turmoil down the road. And you know what? He will go ahead if you just keep your eyes on him because he sees way down there. He will better prepare you for when that time comes. He'll better prepare you if you just let him guide with his eye and let him get the binoculars out. He can see a whole lot further than you because oftentimes in our life, things cloud our vision. Oftentimes in our life, even when we're on the mountaintop, sometimes we have a tendency, you know, everything's all right. So we have a tendency to push the Word of God away. You know why? Because everything's okay. Boy, let me tell you something. If there's ever a time that you need God maybe even more, it's when you're on the mountaintop, because let me tell you something, when you get down in the valley, you're going to need all that stuff that you've stored up from the Word of God for when you get down there. You're going to need that sustenance, if you will, all that he has taught you when you're on the mountaintop. What I'm trying to say, boy, when you're on the mountaintop, boy, you ought to be reading God, reading the Word of God and walking with him maybe even more than you ever have, because when you get down there, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. But the children of Israel, we can kind of be likened to them. You know, simply because they went through tough terrain, we go through tough terrain. They had their high days, we have our high days. They have their low days, we have our low days. And I'll move along and I'll go through a few thoughts here. How do I get in the way? Number one, you must first know that you're on your way to heaven. You know, in order to go ahead and get to where God wants you to be, and you know what? God wants us all in heaven. He's created a place for us. I'll come again and receive you unto myself, the Bible says. If we're going to go ahead and get to where God is in heaven, you know what? We, first of all, down here, while we are living and breathing, we need to know for sure we're on our way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I can't work good works hard enough to get me to heaven. I can't do all this good stuff or right stuff. And I'm not against good works. We ought to be doing good works as Christians. Amen. We ought to go out soul winning. We ought to read our Bible. We ought to be helping the needy. We ought to be doing all that. But the truth of the matter is that and that alone is not going to get you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we're going to go ahead and get in the way, if we're going to go towards the way that God wants us to go, we must first know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. We must know for sure that we have to understand we're sinners. sinners. We have to understand that there's a price on sin. That price is hell. But Jesus, thank God, God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to take our sin debt. And all we have to do is simply open our heart to him and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of all my sin and take me to heaven when I die. And Jesus says he'll do it because whosoever, Romans 10:13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if we're going to go ahead and get to where God is, if we're going to go in the way that God wants us to go, first of all, while we are living and breathing here on earth, we need to know for sure we're on our way to heaven. Let me ask you, my friend, do you know that? Do you know for sure if you were to die today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? You know, I think a Baptist church would be the worst place in the world to die and go to hell from. You know, every Sunday we get up and we proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. And maybe you come Sunday after Sunday, and I don't know, God knows your heart, come Sunday after Sunday. But let me ask you something. Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, that you go to heaven? I plead with you, my friend, don't leave this independent, Bible-believing Baptist church without knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Don't you leave here having doubt, some doubt in your mind that I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I plead with you. I plead with you. Get saved and know Jesus as your personal Savior. Don't leave here without knowing him. You must first know that you're on your way to heaven. How else do we get in the way? Allow godly influences in your life to help lead you toward the right way. You know, Joshua was that man to help point Israel to God. Joshua was that man. He says, hey, listen, you know what? We're going this way. Hey, prepare yourselves because tomorrow God's going to do some great things. Hey, you know what? Prepare yourselves now. Joshua was that fearless leader that went ahead and pointed the children of Israel. Moses was that fearless leader that said, hey, we're going this way because the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire is, that's God. That represents God. And we're going to go ahead and follow that because it's God's way. Joshua said, hey, you know what? The Ark of the Covenant, they're going to go before you and you don't get ahead of the Ark of the Covenant, you go ahead and you go after it. You follow it. Hey, there was a man of God there that went ahead and pointed the children of Israel toward God. Hey, let me tell you something. You ought to rely upon a good pastor to help point you towards the things of God. You ought to go ahead and rely, teenager or a child, upon a godly mama and daddy that will point you towards the things of God. You ought to go ahead and rely upon a Sunday school teacher that will point you towards the things of God. You ought to rely upon a good godly bus captain that will point you towards the way of God. Hey, what I'm trying to say, don't you push God out. Don't push godly influences out. They are needed in your life. They are needed. You needed to go ahead and guide you. Hey, you know, I'm a pastor. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, even I, you know, I need to go ahead and call my preacher. There are times I'll sit back there and I wonder, okay, what do we do now? This has come. What do I do now? I thank God that there's a godly pastor that I can still call upon. You know, even I, as a pastor, a young pastor, amen. Say amen to that part, amen. But a young pastor, I've only been a senior pastor for just a few months. And some of you, you've seen some of the ups and downs that I've already, some of the mistakes and maybe some of the good things perhaps. But the truth of the matter is, what do I do? Yes, I need to rely upon God. But yet, I thank God that there's some godly men in my life. I am a preacher. I have a mom and dad that are still around that I can go ahead and call upon. People that have been good influences in my life to help point me to the way to where I am now. Hey, to stay in the way, you must keep your eyes ahead of you and don't look back. What did God tell Lot and Lot's wife when they left Sodom and Gomorrah? Don't look back. Don't look back. Sometimes when you think you're in the valley, and I've counseled people, and even I, when you're down here, sometimes it's so easy to try to look back and say, boy, it seems like way back yonder years ago, I never had this kind of trouble. You know, that's a lie of the devil. You know what? Let me tell you something. There's no better life than being a Christian. I would much rather go through these valleys as a Christian with a friend like God than to go through the same things without Christ. I'd much rather. Boy, I thank God that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I thank God when there are times I'm down here, but sometimes the old devil will kind of fog our vision, if you will. And when we're down here, we have a tendency to look back and say, it seems like when I was serving the world, it seems like when I was living in the world, before I got saved, I wasn't here. Oh, you probably were. You probably were here. You just don't remember. And the truth of the matter is we have a tendency to look back and God said, hey, listen, Sodom and Gomorrah is a wicked city. And don't you look back, Lot and Lot's wife. I can't remember her name right off the top of my head, but Lot's wife. And the Bible says, a little small verse, remember Lot's wife. Hey, you know what? She was so enticed about what was going on behind her. God says, you go forward, but she looks back. And the consequence was she turned into a pillar of salt. Paul said, I pressed toward the mark. Paul said, man, I've made mistakes in my time. Boy, before I was saved, before I was walking down that old Damascus road, you know what? I was a wicked sinner. I was persecuting Christians. I hated God. I didn't like religion or the religion of the Bible. I wanted to persecute God and anybody who stood for God. But let me tell you something. When he got saved, boy, his life changed. He became a new man in Christ. And he says, you know what? And when he was sitting in jail, he says, I pressed toward the mark. He was reaching forth for those things which are ahead and forgetting those things which were behind. What was he saying? I'm not looking back. I'm not looking back to the days that I used to kill Christians and persecute them and blaspheme the name of God. I'm not going to go back to that. I'm going to keep on pressing forward. Hey, you know what? You need to hang on to them influences, godly influences in your life that you can grab a hold of, that you can call up on the phone and say, boy, help me out here. I'm kind of in a rut. Those people that will lead and guide you, you need to go ahead and look ahead of you and not look behind you. Joshua said in verse 5, sanctify yourselves, prepare yourself today, because tomorrow, look ahead. Children of Israel, God's going to do some wonders. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't let Satan distract you from following Christ. Israel was to go ahead and when the ark went before them, they were to go ahead and follow the ark. Don't get ahead of God, in other words. Don't get so frustrated that you put Christ ahead, or you ahead of Christ, I should say. Don't get to a point in frustration and fogginess in your mind that you go ahead and put yourself ahead of Christ. That's when troubles come. That's when the problems arise. You know what? This is what's wrong with America today. That's why we have some messed up society some today. Simply because we've gone ahead and put the things of the world ahead of Christ. God has been taken out of his rightful position. And who of all people should go ahead and elevate Christ and lift up Christ to where he should be? We should. We should go ahead and lift up Christ. The Bible says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. But Christ ought to be the center of our life. Don't let other things get ahead. Don't put yourself ahead of Christ. Let him lead you. Oh, I love that little chorus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. What? No turning back. Though no one join me, sometimes it's lonely, still, I will follow. Though no one join me, you know, sometimes it's not the popular thing. Sometimes it's not the easy thing, but you know what? World, you don't want what I have. You don't want to be a part of me. Whatever the case, if you don't want what I have, you know what? I'm still going to follow Christ anyways. The world behind me, the cross before me. Hey, to stay in the way, you've got to trust Christ. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't let doubt cloud up your thinking that you have a better way. Sometimes you start doubting in the valley. Start thinking, you know what, there's got to be a better way. Seems like every time I just make a few steps forward, man, I just slide right down again. Don't start doubting God. Keep God close and real in your life. Keep him in the forefront of your life. Allow him to lead you. And when you allow Christ to lead the way, victory will come. You know, maybe victory won't come until heaven for some of us. You know, sometimes there are people in some way, maybe they're just almost called. They feel like they're almost called to live in the valley. And it might be because God wants you to be a testimony of those who are going to go through it. Oh, I know people, good godly people, who it seems like, preacher, boy, I try to get up to that mountaintop, but boy, it just seems like they live there. And oftentimes, and I had a dear lady tell me this, who was down in the, it just seemed like always, just always. But she says, you know, I'm just going to keep trusting God. Because I hope that by my stand for God in the turmoils and the troubles that I go through, that it will be better for those who will go through it. That they'll see that I live down there and I can get through it and I can keep on serving God even in the valley. And I hope that my life can be a testimony of Christ so that when they're down there, that they may be able to go through it as well. You know, the Bible says victory will come. In verse 13 of this story, you know, of course, the Levites was taking the Ark of the Covenant to the Jordan, and they had to step down into the river. And once they put the soles of their feet, I'll read a few verses here. In verse number 13, we'll pick it up. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, I love this, shall rest in the waters of Jordan. The Levites step down. They've got that ark. They put their feet very carefully down into the water. As soon as they do that, the Bible says that the Lord of all the earth will go ahead and rest in the water. The Bible says that the Jordan River, the water is going to heap up so that the children of Israel, you know what, just like the Red Sea, they're going to pass by. And at the end of that chapter, we won't read it because of time, but they pass by on dry land. Folks, we serve a mighty good God. We serve a mighty good God. I know some of the heartaches that you've gone through, some of you this week. I know some of the valleys that you go through. You call and say, "Preacher, this has happened, this has happened, this has happened." Let me just plead with you this one simple statement. Don't despair, because God's right there with you. You know, I'm at this River Jordan. What am I going to do? Hey, you know what? The Bible says God's going to rest in the waters there. And he's going to go ahead and part them waters. And you know what? And he'll cause you to pass through dry land. Hey, God loves you. Don't give up on God. Prepare yourself. Allow the valley to prepare yourself for some bigger and better days ahead. And watch God do some great things in your life. Hey, don't quit. Sometimes we have a tendency, we're in the valley and it just doesn't seem right, so I'm going to take a little break from God. Don't take a break from God. He's never taken a break from you. I'm going to quit church. Don't quit church. Boy, the church family is what you need during that time. I'm going to quit reading my Bible. No, don't quit reading your Bible. That's the love letter from God given to you, preserved, and he wants to help you. You read it. I'm going to quit praying. I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit. Don't you quit doing that, because that's the very things that you need to sustain you through the valley. But all that said, when you're in the mountaintop, this is where we have a tendency to say, you know, things are okay, so I don't need to read it every day. Yeah, you do. Every day. Walk with God. Absorb it now. Absorb it while you're on the mountaintop. Make sure you get up and read that Bible even when things are going good. The bills are paid. Health is good. Everything's wonderful. The wife's happy. The kid's happy. Everybody's happy. You just keep on reading God, reading the Word of God, absorbing the things of God, get in church and absorb the preaching, because when you get down there, you're going to need it all. And it's going to go ahead and absorb everything that you got. Hey, God is a mighty good God. The Bible says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Maybe today you're traveling a bit of highway, if you will, in your journey that I've not passed this way before. And preacher, I don't know what to do. The very best I can through the Holy Spirit of God, I've tried to just give you a little formula. Basically, keep your eyes on Christ. Read the Word of God. Make him a big part of your life. Because as you travel that highway and as you travel the way that you just, I've never seen this. I can't believe this is happening. Boy, you need to trust in him and trust in his Word. Keep him right in the forefront. I love the verse in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. A little phrase there, for thou art with me. For thou art with me. Maybe you're here today, you say, preacher, you said for me to get in the way, to go get where God is, I've got to be saved. Maybe you're here today. You do not know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Won't you in just a little while come down, shake my hand. I'll stand down here, shake my hand, say, preacher, I want to know for sure I'm saved. I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know. I've come to church for a long time, or I've, you know, but I just don't know for sure. I plead with you, don't leave this place today without knowing Jesus. And if you're like that today, just shake my hand. And if you're a lady, I'll have a lady sit down with you and show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you're a man, I'll have a man sit down and show you from the Bible how to be saved. But I plead with you, don't leave without knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. For the greatest day of your life is when you get saved. The greatest day. But maybe you've been around, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you're just not prepared for some of the things you're going through. Maybe you gotta come down and say, okay, Lord, here I am again. It seems like Sunday after Sunday, but here I am again. I'm going through this. God, I need you. As the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you, don't sit there and say, I'm gonna get through my way. I'm gonna do it my way. Hey, don't do that. Why don't you just decide to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit when the music plays in just a couple minutes? Why don't you decide? Whatever that feeling is in your heart, it's not, it's probably the Holy Spirit saying, come. Come unto me. Let me help you. Let me help you lead through this way that you've never passed before. Why don't you just grab a hold of my hand and you hang on tight. Sometimes you come to the end of your rope. Boy, I plead with you. You tie a knot, but not in the end of that rope, and hang on. And don't let go. And Jesus is there and he says, hey, you're going through it, Christian. Why don't you grab a hold of my hand and I'm going to go ahead and hold on to you with dear life and we'll get through it together. Now, Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. We thank you, God, for being such a good God. We thank you, God, for leading the way that you lead. We thank you, God, that even when we're in the valley, God, that you just are there with us. When we're in the mountain, on the mountaintops, you're there with us. We thank you, God, for loving us. I pray, dear God, that you'd have your way and will in this invitation in just a couple minutes. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here, they're not saved, they don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. I pray, dear God, that they won't leave here without knowing Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray, God, that if there's a Christian here, they're just having a tough time this week. I pray, God, that they'll just not make any rash decisions and decide, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to serve God. I pray, dear God, that you just grab a hold of their heart and they'll make a decision that you and I, God, we're going to make it. They'll hang on to you with your life. Whatever the need is today, I pray, God, Holy Spirit, you'll work. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Shall we stand to our feet? The music's going to go ahead and play. As the music plays, if God's spoken to you, why don't you come down, make an altar down here at the front, and do business with God. If you're not saved, I would ask you, why don't you go ahead to today, make that day of salvation in your life? Why don't you get saved? The music's going to play.